This week, So What Do We Do is sponsored by FactZero.com.
Yes. At FactZero.com, you can send 5555 free faxes a day, up to 3 pages each, to anywhere in the U.S. and Canada, including to your elective representatives.
Click the Fax Congress button on FactZero.com to simply and easily fax your representative or senator. The information is pre-filled for you. It's so simple.
And if that weren't enough, for additional faxing needs, you can choose to pay $1.99 per fax for longer faxes, or if you want to send more than 5555 per day.
5555. It took a while for the echo to reach over here.
Yes,
anyway, thank you, FaxZero.com.
Yeah, which makes this podcast happen, and it's happening now.
Don't you feel like our democracy's not dealing like we used to see?
It's news to me, some choose to be enabling this mockery.
It's human and it's history.
Communication is the key.
Now come on, you can talk to me. So what do we do?
Hello and welcome to So What Do We Do?
I'm Storm, your guy who's going to go on vacation soon.
And I'm Angela, your guy who's about to move.
Yeah.
We're so, like, busy and interesting. It's fascinating. How was Comic-Con? I haven't talked to you since Comic-Con.
Comic-Con was great. It's, you know, it's a crazy, awesome, wacky zoo. Had a tremendous amount of fun. Hung out most of the time with the McElroy brothers. They had a couple of shows at the Balboa. Of course, we did our Woodstock show at Mystery Science Theater 3000. They did shows just hanging out with folks and catching up with friends, making new friends. Thank you to the folks who came up to me across the weekend and who are listeners of this podcast.
Yay!
I think I mentioned it. Right, and I'm passing along hellos to you as well, Angelazer, because it was not just to me, but people saying that this is really helpful to them, and that's great.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's very nice. I'm happy to hear that.
Now, how goes your preparations to ease yourself out west?
Well, it is going to be over soon, and that is exciting. We filled up a dumpster. We are sorting and packing, and by, I guess, this time next week, we'll be out of this house.
My gosh, and you have extra levels of difficulty because you not only have your own album launch that you are navigating and propagating and othergating, but also the Kickstarter that you're helping out with. So that's...
Yeah, by this time next week, I will have fulfilled 2 album Kickstarters, hopefully funded a 3rd Kickstarter for the Action Cats game, and moved to Los Angeles.
You must be made of, like, diamonds and chocolate, because
and
that's
caffeine.
Impossible. mostly caffeine.
Yeah. Mostly caffeine. Yeah, no, it's exciting. It's fun. I mean, we've worked a long time to get here, so it's been an exciting... I mean, it's not too much work. It's just a lot of work. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's just
I do know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
Well, speaking of competent people working hard, do you want to tell us the news this week?
I assume you are giving me a compliment on my production of the news and not the people on whom I am primarily reporting.
Of course.
Okay, what the what? What's going on? What's happening?
What's happening?
The sort of the good news is I feel like what's happening in the regular news is the stuff that I track. It's getting closer and closer to the surface, almost to the point where I feel like I don't need to track the news so closely anymore. But I still am. And for the record, I'm probably going to take my vacation off of the news.
Yeah.
So we'll see how we all survive. I'm guessing just fine.
yeah, we're figuring out what we're going to do for the next 2 weeks. I think we'll just record something short and fun for you to listen to. Maybe I'll record something in the car with my husband when we're driving down to Los Angeles. You just get to hear us going, look out the window. It's a desert.
You know what? I kind of feel like that's where we are. We are rolling through a very long Mad Max-like desert of suck and horror through which we are. We will persist and build a better thing.
Yeah.
But it's still very boring and terrifying if the car breaks down. So
yeah.
let's keep the fuel in the tank.
I like that metaphor a lot, Storm.
I just came up with that one. Yes, sir.
You're an artist.
Yeah. So what the what? What? Huh? I have 5 pods of news. None of it's really new stuff. The first pod is under the heading of Unpardonable.
Ooh.
and there are four headlines which I will conflate. The first is Trump launches all-out assault on Mueller probe. This would be the FBI's probe of all of the Trump-Russia dealings, and specifically the finances. They're starting to get into it. They are following the money, and it is making the Trumpster very nervous. Headline number two, Trump says he has complete power to pardon. So he just pretty much said that, which when you add it to his statement about how he could, more or less, I'm paraphrasing, more or less shoot someone in the middle of the street and not have any ramifications, kind of says, sure, you know, I can just go ahead and have people killed and pardon myself and I'll be fine. Like, that's the very, very end state, just the holding himself above the law.
Troubling.
And this is all, yeah, it's a little disturbing. Third headline, Trump lashes out at his beleaguered attorney general and asks why he isn't investigating Clinton's emails and Russia connections rather than his own.
Great.
And this has been an ongoing. It's really about him wanting to get Sessions to step down. It's believed that so that he could appoint another attorney general in order to fire Mueller, and not recognizing that that would send up a poop storm if he thought the Comey firing was big, an even bigger one. And the last headline in this pod is Congress agrees on sanctions for Russia, defying White House. And this has to do with the Magnitsky Act, I believe it is called, that were placed because of a human rights activist in Russia who had called out cronyism and bad dealings with Putin and was murdered. Or you know what? I'm not even sure if it was from that or if it was from the hacking and Obama's sanctions that he put down, which included taking away the properties in Maryland and in New York as punishment. At any rate, it's the main thing is that Congress is there's enough of Congress, at least, that is not bought and sold with the whole Trumpist thing, that they're going to overlook the fact that there's a hostile foreign power that's monkeying with us. It's frustrating to Trump. So the sum of all this, here's how I conflate this in the state of things, is that this investigation that Mueller is conducting and the other investigations primarily in the Senate, it is closing in, and it's getting closer in to not just what is going on or what happened between his campaign or possibly himself, the Russians and Putin, but perhaps this entire business enterprise. And if anything, of the things that probably drive Donald Trump, the greatest is, of course, his own name and ego and this idea that he wants to establish his family, which, to his credit, hey, that's all right to look after your family. But if you're doing it by ruining a country and endangering the world, maybe not so laudable.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you have a sense of where this is, or does it seem like a haze?
Well, it feels like we're let me tell you what I think is happening. There's some sketchy stuff, and then it's getting harder and harder to hide the sketchy stuff. But maybe that's just going to make Trump more angry and act more irrational. Like, it doesn't seem like the more, like, he'll deny that something happened, and then it'll be like, but if it did, it's not that big of a deal. Maybe you did it, and then everybody's just confused and goes home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's spot on.
Yeah, there's not a lot of maturity, but, I mean, it's a fine way to like, if you're just trying to cover something up or make it seem like it's not that big of a deal, acting and speaking irrationally is probably a pretty good way to deal with that, because it just makes people tired.
Yep. And more I feel like that's the thing that we have to push through collectively.
Yes.
All of us here, and that ultimately it has to be Republicans that step up and say, no, this is too much. I feel like there's already enough out on the table that this whole regime should be gone. And that any responsible caretakers of this country would put that machinery in motion. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see indeed. Well, as always here on So What Do We Do during the What the What section, I have some stress offsets so we can listen to the news and then have something fun to think about. And today,
what's your?
I want to just talk about stars. thinking a lot about distance and movement as I'm saying goodbye to all of my friends in Portland. And also trying to distance myself from our administration. So I'm just thinking of things that are far away. And I wanted to talk about different stars that have names, because stars have names, and I think that's cool.
So we're not going to the, you know, QX5-5P4 type stuff.
No.
We're talking about. Okay, good.
Yeah, we're talking about stars. And I'm going to tell you what the, you know, what the man tells us is the real story behind these stars and like how they got their names. But Storm, if you know like the real story, if you, you know, I know you have a lot of strong hypotheses. I'd be happy to hear what you think maybe might be an alternate history for these stars.
Oh, sure. I'm so thick with star lore. It's ridiculous.
Star lore is my favorite Marvel character.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with Barnard Star. Uh-huh. It's a low mass red dwarf about 6 light years away in the constellation of Ophiuchus. I don't know this constellation, but it sounds fun. Mm-hmm. It's near the celestial equator and maybe is some kind of snake. Yep, it's a snake. Man holding
it's
a snake.
It's a snake. Yep.
Barnard Star. Now, the man will tell you that this is named after the American astronomer E.E. Barnard, who was who was not the first to observe the star, but was probably the first white guy to do it or something and got it named after mm-hmm. him. But I don't know. Barn? This probably has something to do with the barn, don't you think, Storm?
That's correct.
Okay.
That is entirely wrong. The original name for the star, now it went through translation. I think it was the Egyptians that first named it.
All right.
But it is actually a corruption of the word barnyard star.
Oh, okay.
And it was believed, remember this was pre-Judeo-Christian Bible,
okay.
that all animals came from this one star up in the sky. And it's the origins from whence the Noah's Ark story came, that people came from one star, the oceans came from another star, and all the animals came from the barnyard star.
That makes a lot of sense, because this is one of the stars closest to the celestial equator, which is where mm-hmm. barns are.
That's correct. When all barns are built on the equator and pushed outward, much as space elevators are now being built at the equator. Same
yep.
reason. Same thing. Same thing.
All right. That makes perfect sense to me. Barnard Star, everybody. Now you know the story.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have for news?
Oh, news. Right. Sorry. I was more interested in actual history.
Well, let's do one more. Let's do one more star then, because I want to. Capella is another star.
Yeah.
It's the brightest star in the constellation of Auriga and the 6th brightest mm-hmm. star in the night sky.
Yep.
Capella means little goat because of some Latin thing, maybe, or maybe it means something else. I would assume you would probably know what Capella means and why this star is named that.
Well, I do.
Okay.
I actually really do know what Capella is
yeah.
from my past as an a cappella professional. A cappella means in the style of the chapel.
Right.
Capella chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And these were groups that you couldn't have, you know, a gigantic old-timey medieval orchestra in a chapel. It was stripped down. So it was the style of the chapel, what you can do in there.
Okay.
So the Capella star is part of a larger system where the notes of the 5 most notable songs that were sung a cappella, you can actually read right off the sky and sing them. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's like sort of musical notation.
Yes.
In the sky. That makes sense.
Because back in the day, it's not well known, but chapels were open to the sky. So the original chapels being sky worshipers. So mm-hmm. they would go to the chapel, look up, and start singing.
That's beautiful. That actually makes a lot of sense, because Capella it looks like one star, but it's actually a bunch of stars like that mm-hmm. are very close together, because they're musical notes.
Yeah, it's a star chart.
Yeah, it's perfect. It makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Okay,
everything
well,
makes sense.
Now you get to do another star once you've done some more news, Storm.
Okay, let's get through this then. This is a pod of 3 headlines
okay.
under the heading Unhealthy Obsession.
Ugh.
And and is about the attempted destruction of healthcare in the United States.
Mm.
First headline, healthcare is still in danger. Headline number two, Thune, as in Senator Thune, Senate won't give up on Obamacare repeal if bill fails this week, because there is a bill right now that is going on to try to repeal the Affordable Care Act of Obamacare. Third headline, this is fresh off of the horrible, horrible press. GOP congressman blames health care struggles on repugnant Republican female senators.
Ugh.
And adding to the headline, suggests gun violence is a solution, as in dueling, but says that if it were a man, I would suggest a duel. But these are just repugnant women.
Wait, so he wants to duel about the health care bill, but he can't because he can't duel
right,
with
like,
women.
Hold me back. That's right. Said,
oh, okay.
I'm a dude from Texas. And if this were another dude from Texas, I'd suggest, you know, an Aaron Burr style solution to this.
Mm-hmm.
So invoking violence, even as they're being misogynistic in furthering a bill that is dehumanizing and draconian.
You know, you don't even think that people can be misogynists and violent at the same time, but you learn something new every day.
Yeah, we're learning a lot these past 6 months ago. The upshot is every time they bring it up, it gets batted down, this gutting of health care.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in the face of not just on the left, but on the right as well, a recognition that, no, you can't just leave tens of millions of people without insurance and not have a real solution. And nothing that they're proposing is at all real. They believe that it's messaging, but when you simply strip out all the money to provide tax cuts and leave no actual health insurance in its wake, and Trump a few days ago, or maybe it was yesterday, time moves so fast, basically saying, hey, we'll be able to do insurance for $12, and that he heard that off of a Gerber baby insurance something or other that he saw on Fox News. They're trying to pull the fastest of fast ones, so we all need to be just as resolute as they are in bringing it up. I did call my senators today to voice my support again. I'm in Virginia. Both of my senators are not only in the Democratic Party, but they're among the leadership there. But it all matters. So that's the unhealthy obsession.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's talk about some stars then, if you don't mind.
I love it.
This star is named Electra. It's a blue-white giant star in the constellation of Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
And it is named after one of the seven sisters of Greek mythology.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you one more piece of information that you probably need to give us the real story, which is that its projected rotational velocity is 181 kilometers per second, making it a fast rotator.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What else can you tell us?
There's a lot of truth there,
okay.
But it's not the whole truth.
It's not the whole story. They're trying to pull a fast one.
Well, a fast one sort of was pulled.
Yeah.
In that star is called Electra, and
okay.
It is sort of because of the Greek goddess.
Okay.
But it wasn't called Electra. It was called Rototron until 1978.
Okay.
In 1978, as a publicity stunt, The Croft brothers had their Croft Superstars Saturday morning show, Empire.
All right.
And to publicize it, they had a dozen stars renamed after characters in their stable.
Oh.
And that particular star was renamed for Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. And Electra Woman was named for the Greek goddess. So there is some truth to it. But that's the real story behind the naming of that star. So there you also find, and I'm sure they're on your list already,
mm-hmm.
you will find the star Puffin Stuff, mm-hmm. Captain Cool is up there,
mm-hmm.
Wonderbug, a whole bunch of them, Sigmund the Sea Monster. You'll find a literal constellation of stars in that vein.
That's wonderful. I didn't know that. But now that you mention it, Wonderbug is right here, Puffin Stuff. They're all just hanging out in the Taurus constellation.
Well, it dawns on me. Have you actually seen any or many of that whole ilk of drug-addled children's programs?
I have not, but I actually just started watching the reboot of Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. Did you know that they made one of those, like, last year?
I didn't.
It's a live-action story starring one of my favorite actresses, Grace Helbig. It's amazing.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
How did I miss that? Yeah, it was always live-action, like all the Croft stuff was.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's pretty cool.
I have no, like, other than what I've heard on podcasts, I don't know anything about Puffin stuff, so I don't believe it's real, but
you know what?
I don't believe anything you tell me is real, Storm, which is why we have this podcast. So,
yeah, it can be a problem. I saw countless episodes, many hours of it, and I frankly still don't believe it was real myself. So
There you go.
All
right, let's do a little bit more news before we can get to the good stuff.
Okay, I have one more that's a block of three and then two quick ones.
Okay.
This block is Confederacy of Dunces.
Mm.
And this has nothing to do with the book, but it fits. Headline one of three. Trump supporters still fixate on Clinton as mood darkens.
Yeah.
And mood darkens in this context, meaning, hey, what? They're not just going to accept that all of this horrible stuff should just stand and be law? Headline number two. NRA TV hosts warn, quote, white families, unquote, will be, quote, tortured and killed, unquote, if Black Lives Matter succeeds.
Oh, Jesus.
And headline number three, Alex Jones, this is the right-wing radio host, quasi-Nazi, as it seems to be to me.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Jones and other conservatives call for civil war against liberals. So this is all under Confederacy of Dunces.
Confederacy. I see what you did there.
Right. Exactly. The Confederacy,
mm-hmm.
as in the breakaway republics, except there's, I believe, a real fear of people who have, and most of the people who continue to support Trump, a real belief that if the left comes to power, that they will be purged in some manner. And that seems crazy to me, and probably sounds crazy to you, Angela Laser, and you listening.
Yeah.
But I think that's a big part of what we're all kind of up against, and might account for why this wasn't a headline that I wrote read, but that Chuck Schumer yesterday basically threw Hillary Clinton under the bus in saying that, yeah, you know, that I didn't read a lot into it. It almost seems to me like he's trying to create an environment of saying, hey, look, we're not relitigating the election here. We want to fix the country, okay? So let's stop about, you know, talking about Hillary and all this stuff, and let's actually address what's really horrible, which is what this administration and their cohorts are doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
gosh,
that's all very ugly. And needs to be diffused and can't be diffused through angry words and certainly not angry actions.
Yeah.
So that's what I have on that. And I think a lot of the violent talk and even many of the violent actions is stemming from is this fear that's been whipped up.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of star can offset that kind of terrible?
Let's talk about Aldebaran. Aldebaran, which I feel like is a Star Wars, but according to this, is an orange giant star in the constellation of Taurus. So it's near Electra Woman's star.
Mm-hmm.
The planetary probe Pioneer 10 is heading in the direction of this star and should be there in 2 million years.
Mm-hmm.
Star is also known as Alpha Tauri. So, what can you tell us about Aldebaran, which is not Alderaan, but maybe it is, you know what I mean?
Yes, and you're actually pretty close. When you said the original name, it clicked in for me.
Mm-hmm.
This was George Lucas's doing.
Oh, okay.
And it was from the original script, and that was the original name of Alderaan.
Okay.
And as you know, from your experience in registering stars,
yeah.
Once you register a star, the penalty for altering a star's name is death.
Yeah.
So once it was done, couldn't turn back. Mm-mm. It's done. But by that time, he was so busy planning out all the toys for the original Star Wars series and how to market them that he didn't even bother registering Alderaan.
Well, so if the punishment for changing the name of a Star Wars related property is also death. So once you're there, you're there.
That's right, including doing things like changing a scene featuring Han Solo and Greedo.
Yeah.
Gosh, I just talked about not using violence as a solution.
I know.
But you know, it's not my rule. It's not my rule, nor will I enforce this rule, and I'll ask to have this rule repealed. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Listen, we just report on the news, okay?
Yeah, we're seekers and we're seekers of facts and truth tellers.
Yeah. I want to, but in a slightly less violent note, I think that you're familiar with the star Thuban.
Thuban?
Thuban, T-H-U-B-A-N.
Yes.
It's some also designated Alpha Draconis. Mm-hmm. And this is a star of peace. I'm pretty sure it's the dragon's tail.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a happy story behind this. Do you remember what it is?
It's bittersweet. It's mm-hmm. bittersweet.
Okay.
It comes from, I can't remember the name, whichever the dynasty was before the Han dynasty in China.
The Solo dynasty.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. The Solo dynasty. And it was a time of great turmoil. And it was realized that you could achieve a better mental state and more of a cooperative state and to basically allow the BS to just pass, just mm-hmm. not be distracted by the BS and have this real unity by consuming certain substances. One particular chemical that was found in, any guess?
Dragons.
Dragon tails, yes, that's correct.
Okay.
So at the time, dragons were freaking everywhere, sort of like when the folks who colonized the New England colonies, like lobsters were everywhere. Like you could walk from one end of Massachusetts to the other on top of lobsters. That's how many lobsters there were. So it was with dragons in the Solo dynasty.
Yeah.
So basically, the good news is there was not war that killed everyone, but the cost of that was the extinction of this particular type of dragon because their tail created this, enabled this peace, which of course didn't hold. They were swept aside by the Han.
And then the rest of the dragons did go to this star, and that's why it's called Alpha Draconis?
Correct.
They built a spaceship.
And headed for the skies. They're the same spacefaring dragons you hear in Styx's Come Sail Away.
I mean, that's full circle. There you go. There you go, everybody. There's some good information for you.
History is fascinating.
Sure is.
All right. You ready for another salvo? These two are, I got one. Just one headline. Just one.
Okay.
This is the derp state.
Okay.
As opposed to the deep state. And this one really flew under the radar. It's only because I'm the son of bureaucrats that it really caught my eye and I saw its significance. The headline is, hits on federal retirement advance as bill is introduced to fire feds for no cause at all.
Oh.
Now, this was propagated, not directly by Trump, but by the GOP. And it's been a rallying cry for a long time, and not even among Trumpists, but this idea that the federal government is too big, it's bad, it's corrupt, in part because you can't simply fire federal workers. But there's a real good reason why it's difficult, though I do agree that the system is probably needs some altering, but mm-hmm. not destruction. It's really corruption, cronyism, and unmitigated power. It's a check against all of those things mm-hmm. to not simply fire everyone in a department. And you see it here already with the political appointees when you have folks taking up positions at the EPA or NOAA, these other places that are meant to be led by scientists who understand science and how it operates and how to vet it, understand it, explain it, just being led by folks who have a purely political agenda.
Gotcha.
And the bureaucracies are places that serve all Americans and are built up over a long period of time through a system of consensus is how it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And if suddenly you say, no, you can fire everybody for any reason, what you're going to have is something that's completely dysfunctional, doesn't serve, and can become a very blunt weapon. And in my estimation, a really terrible thing.
Yeah.
So that's not something that has happened yet. And I think that if it comes to the point where it is on the precipice of being passed, it will get more attention. But that's when you talk about the more time that passes, these are a lot of the checks that are unseen that are going to get knocked down more and more, with judiciary being the biggest one.
Hmm.
In terms of how long it takes to undermine them. So that's the derp state.
Fun. And let's. Do you have one more piece of news, you said?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it.
Okay.
And this is a bit of resistance in the judiciary under the heading, "Don't defund me, bro." The headline is, "Judge declines to remove block on Trump sanctuary city's order." And what this order was the Trump administration wants to limit jurisdictions' ability to buck orders, these draconian orders that are probably illegal, for basically mass deportation. And this order more or less says, hey, if you conduct any activities against our enforcement of these orders, we can pull funding from you.
Right.
And this judge said, no, that's BS. It doesn't fly. I won't get into the nuts and bolts of it because, frankly, I kind of understand the nuts, but not all the bolts.
Mm-hmm.
But at least for now, it says, no, this type of sweeping power is not going to stand. These great declarations, because talk about a way of completely conducting partisan warfare. If you can just say, you know what? I don't like the way you looked at our ICE agents. I'm pulling all of your funds from you, New York, and I'm giving them to Birmingham, Alabama. You know, it's a way really could become a tool for a different type of wealth distribution. So, but at least right now, that's that sort of thing is being frowned upon. So that was two items.
Okay.
What kind of stars are up in the sky?
All right. Well, let's talk about Albireo, Albireo,
mm-hmm.
which is the traditional name for the double star, also designated as Beta Cygni. Okay. All right. Here we go. It seems fun. The traditional name is a result of misunderstanding and mistranslation. Now, this has a whole mm-hmm. article about that, but I think you probably could explain it to us better. Albireo.
Yes. Albireo is a mistranslation of a Sumerian word for abacus.
Oh, okay.
And they did not have abaci in Sumeria.
Mm-hmm.
But they had seers who intuited them.
Oh, sure.
So they were the ones who named this star after the abacus. The word, as said now, is actually a toy that was popular, and nothing is known of it anymore. Only its name survives.
All right.
But it was generally something that you would play with, not like a toddler type toy, but something from the ages of, say, 7 to 11.
So like a fidget spinner? Like an ancient fidget spinner?
That's the best guess.
Okay.
And that's why they think the mistranslation occurred. Because an abacus to someone who doesn't understand what they are, say, a Sumerian, might think that that's just a fidget spinner. And, of course, they did have fidget spinners in that society, that culture.
Yeah. All right. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Thanks for teaching us so much about stars this week, Storm. I feel like we learned a lot. And also, stars are fun.
Stars are fun. Stars are terrific. Go out, find one, name one, visit one. Do what you have to do.
Take a selfie with a star.
Aww.
And let us know what you see.
Take a selfie with a star.
Fidget spinner, where you are. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, load them up into your car and drive away.
And that's So What Do We Do This Week, everybody.
We've all learned a lot today.
Thank you for listening to another short edition as we are continuing to be busy. We want to tell you to call your representatives and volunteer and take care of yourselves. Yes?
Yes, and absolutely. You can go to 5calls.org. You can go to Fact Zero. But the real hot thing is that health care, that constant pressure. It's proved to work in the past, and it's going to continue to work, especially if you live in a state where your senator might be on the fence, even if not. That type of sense that there is this power behind even those senators who are already behind it, it empowers them. I'm going to add one more thing to do. And this is going to be a hard thing to do, but it doesn't require a lot of time or energy. It just requires repressing your rage. Peek in, and I mean peek in. Don't dive in onto, if you don't already do this, like foxnews.com.
Yeah.
Breitbart, and I don't mean absorb it, but just enough to see what their drumbeat is. Like, I would say for every 10 units, maybe 20 units of news that I scour, I scan one unit of non, I'll say, real news sites.
Yeah.
Just to know what's coming at you. And if you do encounter someone who might be persuadable, you'll know sort of what they're being fed. Mm-hmm. So you can better to diffuse it. So that's a little extra thing that you can do.
I like it. I want to thank people like Dave Dowds, Joey, Clara Kelly, for talking to us on the Twitters. We are So What Do We Do Pod over there, and we love your gifts and your hellos. Dave sent us a link to Citizen Zero Project. Democracy starts with you, which looks pretty cool. We appreciate you thinking of us when you think of happy things like making French toast out of pizza and political things. So we're happy for all of those. So thank you for talking to us.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I am going to check out that site.
Yeah. We will be posting something next week. Probably. We're not entirely sure what it's going to be. And we will keep talking to each other as well as to you. So thank you for listening. This is a very fun thing. And thank you, as always, to FactZero.com for making our podcast possible.
And thank you, Angela Laser. It was always a wonderful thing talking with you about, even if it's about this stuff.
Yeah, it's a pleasure talking to you too, Storm. And best of luck with all of your music and your fun stuff and your vacation.
Yeah, you too, minus the vacation.
Well, we're gonna take a night and go to the Russian River Brewing Company on our way down to Los Angeles and get some Pliny the Elder, which is a beer.
It's fabled beer. Yes.
Yes. Apparently, it's made somewhere between here and Los Angeles. So we're excited to be able to have a fun trip. We're also gonna see dinosaurs. Maybe that's what I'll talk about next week on the podcast.
Well, that is a vacation in a pint glass, so I'll amend my statement, and I'll just say, you too, Angela Laser.
Yeah. All right. Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Keep wishing on those stars.